We wanted to take some time today, and we're going to be looking at a topic that quite honestly is intimidating to so many of us. And the word today, the word that we're going to focus on is this word called holiness. Holiness. And the idea of holiness is living up to God's moral standards. And if you think about it, for most of us in the room, this is a very intimidating word. When somebody says to you, like a guy like me, and says, we want you to be holy. We want you to strive for holiness. There's a tendency for most of us in the room when we look at this and say, okay, God set some standard, and I know that I've messed up, and you could even go back and even reapply your week and see where your week was, and you'll know some spots that you messed up even in the last week. And so the question today that I want us to ask, because I think it's a great question, is so what makes an object or a person holy? What makes someone holy? Because if you don't really understand this concept, then when you begin to study scripture and when you're diving deeper into God's word, you're going to see in the Old Testament, especially in the books of Deuteronomy and in Exodus and Leviticus, these phrases where there are things where the temple is called holy, priests are called holy, there's special garments that were worn that were called holy, even the things that priests touched were called holy, animal sacrifices were called holy. And so many of us equate this idea of holiness along with the idea of religious purity. And here's the problem. You automatically feel disqualified because when you look at your life and your standards and you see God's standards, you don't add up. And because of it, for most of us in this room or listening online, what happens to us is this word holiness doesn't even pop into our dictionary. It's one we know about. But man, I've got this problem, sin problem in my life. I got these thoughts that go on. I say these things that I shouldn't be saying. And so I don't really get this idea of holiness. I mean, I don't really understand it, and I don't see it. And so the idea today of where I want to go, because the root word, the Hebrew root word for holy, doesn't necessarily designate something as sacred as much as it designates something as selected. So let's take a look at that from the book of Leviticus. And you'll see a passage of scripture to where Jesus or where God comes to us and he says this to the people of Israel about this idea of being selected and not so much the understanding of sacred. Because I think for many of us, this is a holdup in our lives. Listen to what he says. For I, the Lord, am the one who brought you up from the land of Egypt that I might be your God. Understand this. God has already said in this verse, I brought you here. I'm the one that picked you up. I'm the one that made all the things happen. If you go back through and take a look at your life, you go back through and take a look at the last several years, all the stuff that's gone on, I'm the one that's been the one that's been responsible for all this stuff so that I might be your God. God made a choice, and he said to the Israelites, you are the ones who are my chosen people. You are the ones. I selected you. Now, when you look at the Old Testament, you can see that there are groups like the Jebusites and the Canaanites and the Moabites and the Ammonites, and you see these different groups of people, and you, like me, like many of us, you read those words and you look at those words and you think to yourself, man, who are all these people? I don't even know who these people are. But for you to know that God didn't choose them, he chose the Israelites. And this is what he says, therefore, you must be holy because I am holy. Understand this, because for most of us in the room, we use this idea of holiness as something that I work daily on trying to attain. I try to figure out everything I can to be holy. And when I make a mistake, I just look at my life and say, man, I screwed it up again. I can't believe that I did this. Three things to understand in the idea of this. And the first one is this, is that I'm not holy because of my performance, but because of God's proclamation. I'm not holy because of my performance. I'm holy because of God's proclamation. If you are a Christian and you've given your life to Christ, then the Bible tells us that you are a holy people. And if you are a holy person and God designates you as holy, then the reality for you to understand isn't because of the things that you're doing, because you're making all the right choices and you're making all the right decisions. It has everything to do with God's proclamation. God said, you chose Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Therefore, I see you as holy. Let me give you another idea behind this, kind of a further thinking of this. Secondly, if you're filling in your notes, holiness is received, not achieved. Holiness is received, not achieved. You see, for most of us, we try to look at holiness from the perspective of achievement. And because of it, what happens to you and me, we see people graded on the curve, don't we? I mean, you look at people and you say, okay, well, I'm a little more holier than them. I mean, I know what they do, so they're not as religious as me. I'm way more holier than them. And then you look at other people and you say, man, that person's so much holier than me. And what happens for a lot of us is it gives us a place of judgment, because we can look at it and say, man, I've done this and I've done this and I've got this credential and I read my Bible more than anybody else in the room and I do all these kinds of things. And so what happens for us is that we see this as an achievement, that holiness is this idea. We even sing songs about it. Holiness, holiness. It's what I long for. Holiness, holiness is what I want. And the idea of holiness is, for so many of us, I've done whatever I can to make myself better than the person beside me. And Scripture doesn't claim that. The idea of holiness, of working towards something, making something in your world, making it your thing, isn't a scriptural idea. The concept for us is it's because God's holy, He made us holy. This understanding of what it looks like, and that's where the third idea comes in, because the third idea is that something becomes holy only when the ordinary is set apart for the sacred. You ever thought about that? Something becomes holy only when the ordinary is set apart for the sacred. Now, let me give you a perfect example, because I would venture to say that all of you have done this even today, and you didn't even know it. For instance, what is this? Out loud, anybody? It's a toothbrush. For some of you in the room, you'll tell stories, right? You'll say, I remember my mom gave me one of these one time, and she said, you scrub the entire floor. And then as the story continues on, and as you get older, the floor gets bigger, right? And so you're like, man, it was the size of 57 basketball courts. And and I just had to sit there and scrub it with a toothbrush. Some of you will say, I remember one time that my mom said that the best way for us to get the toilet clean is that we got to use it with a toothbrush, and you got to get in there and you got to scrub it. And here's the thing. When this thing comes out of the box that it was in and you get that opportunity, here's the thing that happens for you. If you use it in the way that you know that you used it this morning, where you stuck this in your mouth and you started to brush your teeth today like you know you should, when you did that today, you set this apart for a reason, didn't you? You ever think about it? I mean, in my house, it's a big deal. I got a kid that that gives him away. I have a kid, right, that loves to just grab whatever toothbrush is there and use it. Yeah, see, come on, people, you set this apart, don't you? And you know, because we have this happen in our house where they go, Dad, so-and-so just grabbed my toothbrush and they're using it. That is so gross. You set this apart. You designate it for a reason. And whenever you say, hey, today I'm going to brush my teeth with this, then it isn't used to scrub the floors. It isn't used to clean the toilet. It's not used for anybody's mouth but yours. You took the ordinary and you made it sacred. The same thing is true when somebody gets married. Because a lot of you have white t-shirts. You have things with white fabric on them. But when you take the white fabric and you make it into an intricate looking dress, and that dress gets worn by a woman who walks down the aisle and stands in front of another man and in front of a pastor and in front of God and says, "Today I claim you as my wife," that piece of fabric is now set apart as something that's sacred. You see, you do this. And this concept for us of understanding that this ordinary becomes sacred is the kind of thing for most of us in the room that we're struggling with, because you don't feel holy. You don't feel like that you're holy. And when God said that moment that you claimed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were set apart. Peter puts it this way in his book, in 2 Peter. He would write it, or 1 Peter chapter 2, he'd put it this way. He said, "But you are not like that. You're not ordinary, for you are a chosen people." Think about it. When you said yes to Jesus, he said to you, "You are chosen. You are now set apart. You are sacred. You have something in you that no one else has in you. There is something different about you. This is what God claims about you, that you aren't just a chosen people, but you are royal priests." I mean, think about this. Your job is to be a priest. Your job is to be there to encourage people, to love them, to share with them, to show them the exact same thing that the priest did in the Old Testament. Your job is that you're seen now as a royal priesthood. You may not feel like it. You may not think it. And this understanding of holiness for so many of us is that we think that it's something that's over here that we can't grasp. But when God says, "You are ordinary. You are regular. You're like everybody else. But when I chose you and you chose me, I set you apart for something incredible." You're set apart. This is why he would say, "You're a holy nation. God's very own possession." You see, the problem with holiness for so many of us is that we work it from a system that we think is based on us. And when we do that, it sets me up to say, "I'm better than you. I'm better than you, but I'm not as good as you." And God says, "I placed you as a holy group." Listen how he concludes this verse, because he says this to conclude it. "As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light." How different does this make work tomorrow for you, to know that you are chosen? How different does this make you love on your kids or your family? How different does this make you treat the people that you're going to see this week at the supermarket or at the drugstore? How different is this going to be for you this week, for you to begin to know that you have been set apart for the sacred, that God took the ordinary. He took you as an ordinary human being, and the moment you said yes to Jesus, God set you apart for something sacred. So the question is, how do I practice this? If God set me apart for this, "Pastor, I'm hearing some things that I didn't understand before, but how do I practice this holiness?" Let me give you three quick things. And the first one is simply this: I abandon practicing holiness as a person when I believe God isn't present now or won't show up later. Do you ever notice this? You think about the last time you know you sinned, either through a thought pattern or through a physical sin that you did. Maybe for you it's greed. Maybe for you that sin is gossip. Maybe for you it's thoughts inside of your mind, things that you think about of other people. You're a person that judges. You look at people and you have a tendency to judge them, to think of yourself more highly than they are, and you have a tendency to look at those things. Maybe for you it's an addiction. It's something that you do when nobody else is looking. And here's what you're saying, is you're saying in that moment, "God, you're not present. I'm here, and so therefore I'm going to do this because I don't think you'll show up right now. I don't even know if you're going to show up later. And part of the reason that many of us struggle with holiness, part of the reason that many of us struggle with any kind of attainment of it, and you see it so foreign, is because you live your life as if you can control your own destiny. You continually look at it. I meet people that say, hey, I'll fix this problem on my own. I'll make this thing happen. I'll pick up my own bootstraps. I'll work this out because I've worked everything out in my life before. And for you to understand the concept of holiness, what you're saying in that moment is, God, I don't trust you to take care of this in the moment. We do this with our finances, don't we? When you think about it, some of us say, you know what? The reason that I don't give is because, quite honestly, you make up excuses. But inside of it, you say, the reason I don't give is because I don't trust that there's going to be enough for this to happen. And so, God, I'm going to work on this in my own world. We do this with our thought life, don't we? I mean, you have a thought life, and sometimes your thoughts go way further than they should. And so for you, you're saying, okay, God, you're not here. I'm not going to trust you. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to try not to think about the thing that I'm thinking about. We continue to go through this over and over and over again. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, Paul would put it this way. He would say, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserve it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. You are holy. And the problem that happens is when you think you have to work to attain your own holiness, and all you're going to do is focus on it from the perspective of, I have to earn this. Folks, you can't. And it comes to the place that you finally realize, wait a minute, God. You chose me for this. Third grade, Eastern Elementary School. The playground, it was recess. And the game was kickball. And every day, the same two guys were captains. And every day we would go out there and we would stand there, and I always knew that I was never the last one to be picked, because there was always that one guy that was worse than me. But I was either second or third to last. But this day, my friend Freddie, he became captain. And he chose me first. Now you need to know, old Chris didn't kick a home run. I still swang and still took my foot and swung and missed a few times. Still did all the things that I did before, but there was something different in my swagger to know that I was picked first. So how about you? You ever sat and thought long enough that God chose you? When you begin to understand this and think about this, then you realize that in those moments you say, okay, God, I'm not really right here right now. I know I'm struggling, and I want to try to do this on my own, but you need to be present in this moment. And here's a couple of ways that that happens. The second one is this, is simply number two, remind myself regularly to love God with everything I have and am. Love God with everything that I have and everything that I am. Let me give you this idea behind it, because I know what some of you are thinking. You're saying, ah, that seems a little too churchy for me. But the Jewish people understood this. Because when God said, I'm setting you apart, you are a royal priesthood, you are chosen, I've chosen you above everyone else, they took that seriously. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, God laid out this idea that he said, here's what I want you guys to know. I chose you to be holy. And because I chose you to be holy, here's your end of this. I would love for you to recognize that you're holy. Therefore, live up to these standards. You do these things. You make these things happen. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, God was so serious about it that he would even give them this idea that you remember this all the time. You don't forget about it. You remind yourself of this. Most of you know that about a month ago I was in Israel, and the thing that I noticed when I was in Israel was that every time we went to a hotel room, we would be right outside of our hotel room. There were these little blocks that were like on the doorposts of the hotel room. They looked something like this, and some of them were wooden, some of them were stone, some of them had some metal in them. So they were just different types of, some were clear, plastic clear, and I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. What is that? And so me being an inquisitive person, I reach up and I'm trying to like pull it off, and they glued it on, you know, and I'm yanking on it, and I'm like, man, what is that? And so I asked my guide, I said, what are these things? This is interesting that everywhere we've gone, every hotel we've had has these little things somewhere in the doorposts of the hotel. And our guide told us, he said, guys, what those are, they're called a mezuzah. And I said, oh, great, what's a mezuzah, right? And he said, well, a mezuzah is that in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 9, God says, here's the deal. I'm going to give you these commandments, and I want you to remember them so much that you're going to tie them on your tassels when you're walking down the street. You are going to put them on the doorposts of your home so that you remember them everywhere you go. You're saying, well, what is that? It's actually Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. These are the words that are inside these. Listen, O Israel, God says, the Lord is our God. He is God alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your strength. When you walked in, you were given a blank piece of paper with a staple on it. And I want you to grab that. And if you weren't given a blank piece of paper with a staple and a little red sticker, raise your hand really high because I want everybody in this room to have one. And so if you got missed somewhere along the way, we got some folks that are walking around. Just keep your hand up really high, and they will make sure that you get those. And so they're walking around making sure that you get them. And here's what I'd love for you to do. If you would, just take that and rip off the little sticker that's there. And here's why. Because the understanding is simply this. I would love for you, in the coming weeks, the next 6 weeks, we're moving into a period that's preparing our church for Easter. And the thing that God's been asking me to pray about is God's been asking me very clearly over the last few weeks to pray for a move. And I've been praying, God, move in us in a mighty way, because I know that for some of you, God may have not moved in your life in years, and you know it. I mean, you come every week, and that obligation, you see these things, you recognize it. But here's the thing, is that this idea of holiness, the purpose behind what we're doing, is I would love for you to take this sticker and you place it somewhere where you will see it every day for the next 6 weeks. And the goal for you is this, is that you would recognize that God has already taken care of your holiness. He calls you holy. But for you to think in your life, God, I want to focus on you, loving you with everything I have in my heart, everything that I have in my soul, everything I have in my strength. God, I want everything to be about focusing on you in the coming weeks. And my encouragement to you is this. There's 6 weeks between now and Easter. 40 days, 40 some odd days between now and Easter. And the goal for you, the idea, the encouragement for you is to take this and maybe you put it in your car so that you see it on your dashboard, or you see it where the speedometer is. Maybe for you, you're going to put it on your mirror at home. Maybe for you, it goes on the back door because you guys all park in the garage. And so whenever you're leaving the house, you want to make sure that you see it, or you put it on your front door. But the thought for you is to have this reminder that you are already, if you're a Christian, if you've said yes to Christ, you are already considered holy, and this is the standard that God wants to remind you of, that you are holy. There's a third piece to this, and the third and final piece is this. Pray for a cleansing of something that keeps me from fully giving everything to God. Here's why we struggle with holiness. Because for some of us, I could list in my life about 15 things that keep me from being fully committed to God. But there's one that's on the top of the list. And you know what that is in your life. You may look at somebody and you tend to judge them. For you, you may struggle with being envious of what other people have and you wish that you had it. For you, you've replaced God with your family, and so you've elevated your family above your relationship with God. For others of you, it may be a pattern of sin that's going on, of some thoughts, and you know that whenever something happens in your world, the thoughts that are running through your mind aren't thoughts from God. They're very negative. For others of you, it may be your actual language that you use. You're saying things that you know you shouldn't be saying. For some of you, it may be an addiction that you have that no one else knows, but it's secret to you, and you know that that's the separation of holiness for you, because for you, you know you're chosen. You've heard it. You've experienced it today, but the problem is this. It is the moments in your life that you trust more in yourself than you do in God to take care of it. Maybe for you, it's finances, and you're more interested in making sure that your needs are met than God's needs being met. And so there's something maybe that's happening inside of all of us that's there that maybe is a struggle for us. And so the prayer for us is a cleansing of something that keeps me from fully giving everything to God. This idea of understanding this, of what it looks like. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul puts it this way, because we have these promises, dear friends, that you are holy, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit. Did you hear that? Cleanse ourselves. Let us work toward complete holiness because we fear God. For some of us, we have a greater fear of man than we have of God. And maybe that's something you need to write down. You're worried, what are people going to think if I decide to do this? What are they going to say to me at work because I'm going to choose something here and I'm going to struggle with that? What are my kids going to think? What is my spouse going to think? And for some of us, our fear is in everything else around us rather than our fear being placed within God. You see, another experience that I had while I was in Israel, I'm going to show you a picture of it, is right here. There's a wall that's left in Israel from the temple that was put together by Herod the Great. And this wall, the part of the wall that's still standing, is what they call the Wailing Wall. It is the holiest of Jewish sites. And the reason that it's the holiest of Jewish sites is because this is the wall where the Mount of the Temple was built. And this is the only thing that's standing from that whole era is this wall right here. And for Jews, they come and they pray at this wall. And the reason that they pray at this wall is because for the Jews, they believed that God lived in the Holy of Holies. And the way that it was set up was simple, that one guy, one time a year, had to have everything that was ordinary become sacred for him to enter the Holy of Holies. And so the high priest, the head of all the priests, got one chance a year to walk behind a veil and to go into the Holy of Holies, and everything had to be perfect. They had to make sure to set it apart. And there is an entire section of Scripture that's dedicated to the fact that everything in the Holy of Holies was set apart. It was sacred for the sole purpose of this one person going inside the Holy of Holies. For those of you who know anything about Jesus, you know that when he died, Scripture tells us the veil of the Holy of Holies was torn open for all of us. All of us now have access to God. And the Holy of Holies is in you. You have been set apart. And so what happens when you go to Jerusalem, old Jerusalem, you go to this wall, and there are these people that are all standing there wearing these nice little hats. You can get to see this one. I got a real nice one there. And so get a nice little hat, and you're basically touching this because you know that someday maybe God would return, that he'll be at this spot. Some of you were even raised under this idea that God dwells inside the church, and that's not true. He's inside of you. You have been set apart. Now you'll notice something here. You'll see all this little white stuff that's along here. This isn't people just leaving their leftover cigarette butts and stuff like that. Actually, what this is it's people taking blank pieces of paper like you have, and they are writing a prayer to God to put it on the wall, the holiest of holies. Part of that prayer for them is, what's separating me from loving God with all my heart, with all my strength, with all my soul? And so we're going to participate in that today. You'll notice on the stage here that there are four different sections here, and you'll see some people that wrote simple prayers. And my asking to you is simply this, that you would take and that you would simply just have this idea that you would write down a simple prayer of something that you know is separating you from God. And the idea of what you're doing with this sticker is that what you pray for today, whatever it is that's your confession, whatever it is that you know is separating you from loving God with everything, you write it down. Is it one, two, three sentences? You don't need to take all day with this. But that you fold this up and that you would roll it in and that you would take, and we put together four little walls here. And the idea for you is to have this moment and this opportunity so that when you walk out of here, the reminder, the sticker, put in somewhere where you see it, is the reminder to you that you've been called holy, you've been called set apart, and that the idea of what God wants to do in these next 6 weeks, the thing that God wants to grow in you in the season heading into Easter, is that God wants to grow inside of you this understanding of what does it look like to love God with everything. Love God with all of my stuff. So for you to write it on a piece of paper, we've asked for everybody to have one. Because this isn't just about our family, so we get together as husband and wife. It's about you and you personally. This is between you and God. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm just going to let you stay seated. I'm going to give you a couple of a minute or so. You're going to hear CJ play in the background for you to write these things down. And then CJ is going to call us to stand. And as we move for communion, and our communion folks come at that time to get us ready to go, then I would love for you to take this and to roll it up and to put it in one of these four areas. And for the next 6 weeks, we're going to keep these things. Because I know that for some of you, God's calling you to pray for the holiness of some of your friends. And there are going to be times when we're worshiping for you to just come up. I don't want you to pull these out. I just want you to pray over these. Why? Because we are called a holy people. Royal priesthood. A holy nation. Chosen by God. Let me pray for us. God, right now, there's some in this room who are thinking, man, I know what I should write on there, but I'm too afraid to do that. And Lord, that goes back to us saying that we can do this on our own. God, you broke my heart this week with a friend of mine who believes that his addictions and his life can be overcome by his own power and will. And God, I know that's not true. You know that's not true. That God, you gave us the strength and the ability. You called us chosen. You see us as holy. And yet, for so many of us, we're too busy managing our sin life to be reminded that you are holy and that our trust fully in you takes care of those issues. So Lord, whether it's our time, whether it's our treasure, the things that are important to us, God, whether or not it's the talent that we have that you gave us, or whether or not it's family, God, whether or not it's an addiction or our thought life or the patterns in our world, Lord, help us as a church to have this moment to where we put holiness in the spot that it was meant to be, and that Jesus, you will take care of it, that you were the sinless, spotless lamb to come and die on a cross for my sins. We pray this, Jesus, as we write these things down in your holy name. Amen.